You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Hi everyone. So my name's Gabriella, like Cherith said, and as some of you may know, over the summer I spent 2.5 months in Brazil with Saudade Terra Church as part of One Family, which is an exchange program between the churches in different nations. So I'd like to share with you a bit about my time there and what God spoke to me during this time. Firstly, though, I want to thank everyone who supported me both financially and through their prayers, because I was able to do everything I could there, take every opportunity. I didn't have to say no to everything, so I'm really grateful for all you guys have done here as well. So during my time there, I had the opportunity to go on some trips, and the one that impacted me the most was the youth missionary trip to the northeast of Brazil. This was a really incredible experience, and almost 80 people went, mostly the youth, and I went as a helper. This is a part of Brazil where there's a lot of poverty. I hadn't seen anything like it before. And we spent over a week with a community there, taking food parcels and other essentials, doing dentist appointments and counselling sessions, and visiting the schools. This was a really amazing opportunity to visit a part of Brazil that I'd never been to and also take part of my first mission trip. We had so many opportunities there to evangelize and tell people about Jesus. And we did this a lot through dance, theater, evangelism on the streets, praying with people and visiting people in their houses as well. And I learned a lot about evangelism on this trip, not only through prayers and preachers, but also through our actions and the way that we serve the people there. And I think this is the way that God's love was shown the most, was through our actions. And I could honestly see how much we impacted people's lives there and how grateful they were for what we were doing. And an example of this is, I forgot to say, there are photos of the trip. I think there's just like the first slide. Yeah, this is the trip. But an example of this is this one of the little girls there that we met at the school. After spending some time with her, she told us that we were the best friends she'd ever had. So that was so sweet. And another little boy, we were able to help him with his health. So one of the leaders that went on the trip, she noticed he had some wounds on his body, and they discovered he had a disease that where he gets open wounds. So we were able to go to the pharmacy and treat him for this. So it was, and he's already doing so much better. Sometimes all people need is to be seen, and that's what we were doing there. We were seeing people and showing them how much they are loved, how much God loves them. I also made a lot of friendships on this trip. Not only from people in Goiânia, which is where I stayed during my time in Brazil, but also from churches in other cities that went on the trip as well. And I've made a little video of the trip to show you, just so you can get a bit of an idea of what we were doing there.
Revolução. já vai tremer com o som do avivamento. O céu vai rugir e o fogo cair. O chão vai tremer com o sol do avivamento.
So that's a bit of what we were doing there. As you can see, there was a lot of dancing and singing most of the trip. Which was such a good way of, whenever people saw that we started dancing, they would all come. So it was such a good way of evangelizing. And a lot of time on the bus as well. 36 hours there, 36 hours back. So that was interesting. So also, apart from this trip, I also went to a church camp with another church. Which was so good to meet other people and build connections with a different church. I also went to a women's conference, a youth camp, and a youth conference. So there was lots to do all the time. But whilst I wasn't on these trips, I stayed with two families. There were pictures of them before, but yeah. And they were so welcoming. They welcomed me with open arms and made me feel like part of their family. So those are the two families that hosted me whilst I was there. I also took part of day-to-day life of the church, going to church services, life groups, staff meetings, meeting with people, and also playing the piano and singing in the worship band. And I also took part with helping the discipleship there for the young girls, which was really good. And I made a lot of friends there. I learned so much from them. I learned so much about the importance of having godly friendships that encourage and help us to grow. And a verse that God spoke to me a lot whilst I was there is Joshua 1:9, which says, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And I think this really helped me. God really helped me through this verse to take every opportunity I had and make the most of my time there. But I want to encourage you all to be a part of this project, not necessarily going, although some of you may, but also receiving and hosting the family, the people that come here, maybe financially or through your prayers as well. Because we've got so much to learn from one another, and this is such a good way to learn from different cultures and different churches. So something that God spoke to me about a lot in Brazil is discipleship and the importance of investing in the lives of young people. And I saw this so much there and learned so much from what they were doing there with discipleship. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. But discipleship isn't a word that we usually hear outside of the church, and sometimes we can overcomplicate it. So it's important to understand what it means. And discipleship is spending time with people in order to help them become more like Jesus. So I'm going to split this into 3 points. But first, I want to read Matthew 28:16-20. So it says, this is Jesus speaking. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." I think when we read this verse, a lot of times what we think of is evangelizing and preaching. But this isn't the method that Jesus primarily used. Although Jesus did teach the masses, most of his time was spent with his 12 disciples because he knew the importance of close relationship and walking together for personal and spiritual growth. Many times, I think the church focuses so much on the number of people attending and how many people are accepting Jesus in their lives, but how many of these people are we walking closely with? How many of these people are truly following Jesus? Jesus didn't worry about how many disciples he had, and in his time, he didn't have very many. But nowadays, there are so many Christians in the world, so we know that God's strategy worked. So my first point is that we must walk with people and live life together. Jesus didn't just teach his disciples through preachers and prayer and talks, but they lived life together. They were friends. Jesus taught his disciples by being with them. So his disciples learned naturally because they saw Jesus live out the message through his conversations and his actions. So discipleship doesn't have to be a weekly formal meeting, but by being with people over time, you start to become more like them, to be changed. But in this case, the aim is not to become like the person discipling us. Our aim is to become more like Jesus. So we aren't making disciples of ourselves. So everything we do has to point to Jesus. This may seem like a lot of work and a lot of your time, like living your life with someone, but this is what God has asked us to do, to make disciples. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they asked the question, why, when we become a Christian, do we not die? Why, when we're saved, why does God not take us to heaven? Why do we continue to live? And the answer to that is that God has work to do through us, and that is to make disciples. Our lives have been changed by Jesus, and God uses our lives to change other people. Whilst I was in Brazil, I had the opportunity to have conversations with my aunt and uncle, who aren't Christians, about God and the Bible. But after this, I started thinking, what am I actually trying to do through these conversations? I really wanted them to know God and be saved, but it's not something that I could convince them to. All I could do was share the Bible and leave the rest to God. But then I started thinking, if God is the one that changes people's hearts, then why does he need us? And when I asked the pastor who was discipling me, his answer was that God wants to use us. It's such a privilege that God partners with us and uses us for his work, because he could so easily do it on his own. He'd probably be much better off without us, but he wants to use us, because relationship is so important to God. God designed us for relationship. In the beginning, when God created the world, the only thing that he said wasn't good in the garden was that Adam was alone. So we need relationship with God and with others, and this is so essential for character formation and growth. So my second point is that we must form disciplers. And what I mean by this is not only make disciples, but teach them to disciple others. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, I entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." After Jesus taught his disciples for some time, he then sent them out to make more disciples of Jesus to continue God's work on earth even after Jesus had returned to heaven. A really good quote that I read in a book that I was reading in Brazil says this: "The multitudes can be won easily if they are just given leaders to follow." And that's exactly what we see in the Bible. Jesus prepared his disciples to become great leaders so that the rest of the world could also be reached. And we must do the same. We need to disciple leaders and teachers that will also disciple others. If this doesn't happen, then the next generation will not know the good news and know how to live a life that honours God. JP always tells the youth that he's not raising children, he's raising parents. And this is so true. In this verse here, Paul is writing to his disciple Timothy, looking 3 generations ahead of him, to Timothy, to those Timothy would teach, and to those that they would also teach. And this is how we multiply. My third point is that we have the Holy Spirit with us. Acts 1:8 says this: but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." It's so good to know that God has not left us to do his work on our own. At the end of the verses I read at the start in Matthew, where Jesus tells his disciples to make disciples of all nations, Jesus says, "Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us. And the Holy Spirit will give us the words to say. And the Holy Spirit will guide us like Jesus led his disciples. And I think a lot of the time, fear that we're not good enough or that we don't have all the answers keeps us from discipling people. But we can't discount ourselves for that reason. Otherwise, no one would be good enough. No one would be discipling because none of us are good enough. But it's the Holy Spirit that reaches lives through us. And the disciples, all the amazing things that the disciples did in Acts, this was through the power of the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3, 4-5 says, "Such confidence we have through Christ before God, not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God." The Holy Spirit enables us to do the work God has prepared and enables us in our weakness. And the Bible says that God's power is made perfect in our weaknesses. So we can't do the work of the Holy Spirit. And that should hopefully take the pressure off evangelism and discipleship. And because all we have to do is our part, which is to share the Bible. And the rest is we leave that to God. But also we can't give others what we don't have. We can't take people where we haven't been. So it's so important that the Holy Spirit is at work in us and that we're living according to the Spirit. If this is true, if the Spirit is in us, then all we have to do is share who we are and people will see God through us. The Holy Spirit reveals the love of God, and we need to know this because otherwise the Bible is just loads of rules to follow. But God wants us to know him, and this is done through the Holy Spirit. And maybe you're thinking, oh, what if I don't have the Holy Spirit in me? But if you're a Christian, you already have the Holy Spirit in you. Everyone who is a Christian has the Holy Spirit in them. If you are saved, you have something to offer to people, even if it is just your story. No matter how recently you've become a Christian, you have your story. And that is such a good place to start because no one can tell you that your story is wrong because that's your experience. We're all at different stages of our faith, but if you're a Christian, then you're already a step ahead of someone who isn't a Christian and you can help them. You have something to give them. To transform the world, we need to be transformed, and this is through the Holy Spirit. So to summarize, God commands us to make disciples. And in 3 points, this is walking together and living life together. Secondly, forming people who disciple others. And thirdly, the Holy Spirit is with us. So it's not in our own strength, it's in God's strength that we disciple others. And this is so important both ways as well, both when we're discipling others and when we're being discipled. Because no matter how old we are or how long we've been a Christian, we always have something to learn. And there's always something that someone else can teach us. So I want to encourage you all to be disciples and to also disciple others. See who you can walk close with, who you can live life with, and who can help you as well and disciple you. Yes. So I want to pray. I would like to pray. Lord, thank you so much that you have so many plans for us and that you want us to disciple your people, God. Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength and Lord, thank you that your Holy Spirit is in us and is always helping us and leading us to disciple others, Lord. I pray for anyone who has thoughts that they are not good enough. Lord, I pray that you would speak truth into their lives and that we would all know that you have prepared us for your work, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.